Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Vieira.
Oh, what a cracker!
It's Petit.
Oh, he's got again! It's Anelka. Could it be four for Arsenal? It can!
This is Grimaldi.
Oh, the goal! It's his first in English football.
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast with me, Dan Roebuck. On today's show, we're speaking to some of Arsenal's French connection, both past and present. Nicolas Anelka takes us through his favourite moments from his time at Highbury. Jeremy Aliadière speaks to us about his rise through the ranks. And Gilles Grimaldi recalls first scouting for Laurent Koscielny. But let's kick off with Patrick Vieira. Patrick Vieira enjoyed a great midfield partnership with Manu Petit at both club and country level. Here's his thoughts on that special relationship.
I think it's just a feeling. Feeling because we loved to play to each other, because I think we are quite both similar on the way we are as a fighter. We was ready to, if I was in trouble, I knew that I can count on him. And if he was, he knew that he can count on me. And I think that's why we was enjoying playing together. And I think Manu Petit was the best partner I had at Arsenal, everywhere I went. And we didn't need to talk. Just the way we look at each other, we understand each other. And what I love about him is he's never give up. He's always here fighting. And he's got a fantastic left foot as well. Just the way we look at each other, we understand each other. If I was tired and I would need his help, he will look at me and he will understand. And if he will come out, I knew that he was going to go and I will have to cover him or vice versa. And that's why we've been successful at Arsenal, because we understand each other really well. And we didn't need it to talk. Manu had a fantastic left foot, so he can put the ball wherever he wants. So I was getting the ball and I give it to him, so we'll find Nicolas or Denis more easy than I can do. And I know that he liked to go forward because his technical ability was better than mine to finish the goal. He was scoring a few goals. And I was more the guys who will sit in front of the back four, who will give balance to the team. And Manu's engine was bigger than mine as well. So he can go, come back, left, right, and I will be the one who will be sitting in the front. I really did enjoy it playing with him. The intelligent players can play anywhere on the pitch. And Manu was one of the players. It wasn't a problem for him to play center or left or in the midfield. And I think he enjoyed it more playing in the midfield because he liked to participate in the game. I think he liked to get the ball, he liked to run. Manu is the kind of player who like to he liked to be tired at the end of the game. If he's not tired, he feels like he didn't do his job. He was always positive to me and was always telling me the truth, what I can improve in my game. He was really important for my career. He wanted to leave. He was sad and understanding because he left to go to Barcelona. So, of course, you feel like losing somebody that you had a really good understanding, and you always have the question mark with the next one. You know, you get in afraid. But after all, I think you have to accept it. Manu was the best partner I had in the midfield.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, we're talking French players on the podcast this week, and I'm pleased to say that Jeremy Aliadière joins us to reminisce about his Arsenal career, tell us one or two stories as well, and also life after Arsenal. Jeremy, thanks for joining us. First of all, we've got to talk about Clairefontaine, because you were at the elite academy in France. What was that like as a youngster?
Well, like you said, it was the top of the top. Every young French player wanted to go to Clairefontaine, and it was not an easy thing to do as, you're very young. You've got to leave your family. You've got to go and stay with other kids that you've never met before. But you just train every day, with awesome coaches and all based on technique. So, I've learned so much from there. And because it's so famous, all the obviously professional club just scout you from Clairefontaine. And that's when I got a lot of interest from clubs.
Who else was at Clairefontaine at your time? Any names that we might remember, or some, maybe not your age group, but that sort of time?
Not in my age group, but a bit after, Atem Ben Arfa was there. Abu Dhabi was there. So they were a bit younger, but came from Clairefontaine as well.
So from Clairefontaine to Arsenal, tell us about how that happened.
Well, that happened. I was my last season at Clairefontaine. I was in the under 15 national team, French national team, and we had a tournament in Scotland with England, France, Scotland, and Ireland, I think. And I had probably the best tournament ever scored, best scorer, best player of the tournament, and Arsène Wenger was there watching the game.
Did you know he was there?
I didn't know he was there, but I knew from Steve Rowley, which was the scout at the time. I knew that, they were interested and they've been looking at me. And so I didn't know that Arsene was at the tournament, but I knew Arsenal were looking at me. And about a couple of days after the tournament, the phone rings and I saw my dad's reaction on his face. And I just thought, oh, God, he looks a bit intimidated and a bit impressed, So just chatted for about an hour on the phone. And when he put the phone down, he was like, very expression on his face. And I just said, who was that? You've been on the phone ages. And that was Arsene Wenger. I was like, no. And he said, yeah, he really wants you to come and visit, the club, have a look at the facilities and just have a chat about maybe you going and join Arsenal. I was like, we're going. This is done.
Yeah. Because I presume there are other clubs interested.
Yeah, there was many clubs interested, all professional club in France, Paris, Rennes, all the club in France and few abroad as well, Inter Milan, Madrid, Barcelona, basically a lot of club interested. But in my mind, as soon as Arsene Wenger called directly my dad, there was just no other team I would want to join.
What is it about our former managers? It still feels difficult to say Arsene Wenger. What is it about him? A father figure to many players. Why is he held in such regard? Why did you want to play for him?
Because I think his loyalty to players and how he's looking after players, and he's proved it for many, many years. When he chooses a player, he never let him down. He's always give him chances after chances. Doesn't matter if you're injured, not performing, it will always, even sometimes you just think, oh my God, like, how come he still give him a chance? He's not doing the job and stuff, but he's really very stubborn in that way. Is the fact that he really trusts in his players, and when he gets a player, he will do anything to go as far as he can to make him the best player he can, yeah.
So you came to Arsenal, what's it like walking into a dressing room with so many world-class French players?
Well, you know what? After the 98 World Cup when France won, and, Patrick Vieira, Emmanuel Petit, Thierry Henry, it was just, incredible vibe in France. So obviously joining them guys at Arsenal was a bit scared for me because, I came from Clairefontaine Academy and suddenly you just join Arsenal with big, big name players. It was very intimidating for me. And to be fair, the first few training sessions, I was a bit scared. I put a lot of pressure on myself to obviously do well and prove that I could play with them guys. It was not easy as the first 6 months, because I was under 17, I was not professional. So I couldn't be part of the professional first team dressing room. I was with the academy, which obviously no French players. I was the only one there. So that was hard, but I think that was a good experience, and that's what made me kind of become English in a certain way, you know, mentality and obviously the language. And because I came, I didn't speak any English. You end up in a dressing room with all 16-year-old kids, English lads that don't speak any French. So you've got to kind
of... Yeah, that's a given.
You know, it was not easy, but you've just got to, you know, work hard and every day learn the language, learn the new culture, new way of playing as well. Because, you know, like I said, Clairefontaine, well, it was all based on technique. And suddenly you just come to a professional club where result matters. You've got to win games. You've got, you know, play English way as well, which is a lot of more physical when it's not. Yeah, it was not easy.
Who was a mentor to you in that Arsenal team? Was it one of the French guys? Well, it was the English guys. Who were you close to?
Well, at the beginning, I was very close to Thierry, as Thierry, you know, we're quite young as well. And Thierry was not playing at the beginning when he first joined Arsenal. He was most of the time on the bench as well. So Thierry was kind of chatting a lot to me, and we were discussing my situation, his situation as well, as he got frustrated a lot at the beginning because he was not in a starting 11 most of the time. So we got quite close at the beginning. Then obviously he started playing and becoming the king. And then after, obviously, I was in the first team dressing room, and then you kind of mix up with everybody. But I will say that Robert Pires helped me a lot as well when he joined the club. Him and Sylvain Wiltord, because they've came. I've already been there a few years, so my English were getting better when their English were not so good. So I've kind of helped them out as much as they helped me out in their way, you know. So it was, obviously, we had so many French players in the dressing room, which, you know, helped a lot.
Tell us about your debut against Fulham.
Against Fulham, yeah.
You came on for?
I came on for Thierry.
And what happened there?
Well, I was so happy coming on, and I could see Thierry was so upset coming off. And I was just like, okay, well, you know, enjoy my time. You know, it's my time to make my debut and come on. And you know, finish the game. I can't remember how long I've played, but it was not much. It must have been, you know, 15, 20 minutes at the end. And then after the game, I could see Thierry was really upset. And I was just like, well, you know, what's up? And he's like, well, I wanted, you know, for your debut, I wanted to make you score. I wanted to give you an assist. I wanted you to score. And then Arsene just took me off. You know, I wanted to be on the pitch and give you an assist so you could score on your debut. I was like, Titi, don't worry. I'm happy, man. I'm happy I've came on. And hopefully next time you can give me an assist, which... he did on my first goal against West Brom.
First goal against West Brom.
Yes.
And that was only a few games later, so you didn't have to wait long.
I didn't have to wait long. No, I came on as well, and Thierry just so wanted me to score, you know, and really helped me out. And he's done all the work on the left-hand side and then just give me basically the best pass, just to tap in. And then my first goal at the Highbury, yeah. So
I was going to say, that was your first goal, your favourite match, we talked about this earlier, is the League Cup quarterfinal up at Anfield. Tell us about that game. That was extraordinary, wasn't it?
That was a crazy game. Yeah, absolutely crazy. I remember travelling on the day, on the bus, going up there, going to the hotel. And then, you know, we knew we were playing against Liverpool. It was going to be a tough game, quarterfinal. And then we just, not that we were defeatist and thinking we're going to lose, but we were just all, you know, young players, and we thought it's going to be a big game tonight, guys. We just got to, you know, do our best. And then you could just feel, as soon as kickoff went, we just dominated the game. We got control of the ball, and then the rest is history. It was the best game I could be involved in. You know, scored the first goal, then just done so well. You know, got a few assists for Julio Baptista. Yeah. And, yeah, we absolutely dominated the game. And it was, I think it was a crazy game for everybody to watch as well. 6-3 at Anfield. It's not
every week you see that.
It's not every week. Yeah, no, it's not every week you see that. So, definitely one of the best memory I've got.
Obviously, got to the semi-final and the final that year. Beat Spurs, got beaten by Chelsea in the final in Cardiff. Yeah, you played in that game.
Yeah, played in that game. And to be honest, a final is a final. But same again, you know, playing against Chelsea, which had their starting 11. Most of them big boys were playing when, you know, all our big boys were not playing. So it was a bit intimidated as well. You know, you're in Cardiff, you've got full stadium and you're playing against Chelsea. But we just, you know, first Phil Walcott's goal, we're winning 1-0. And I thought, God, we've got this. We've going to make it. You know, it was kind of written, you know, after beating Liverpool, Spurs, then Chelsea in the final. But obviously Didier Drogba. you know.
Yeah, he came to Chelsea's rescue there, didn't he? Did we see the best of, do you think, at Arsenal? You had one or two injury issues here, didn't you?
No, I don't think so. I think I could have obviously done much better. I just feel mentally I was not kind of prepared. You know, I was a bit too young, I will say. I came very young at the club and it took me a few years to kind of realise I had the ability to be playing in for this team and to be playing at a top level. But I was putting myself down too many times and I was too respectful, you know, in a way of being with them guys, you know. And so I kind of always never, not that I never tried, but things that I were capable of doing, I was not trying to do because I was too afraid of not being good enough, you know, if that makes sense. And that's why I was just a bit too shy, I think. And it's like with time that I kind of realized that I had the ability and the talent to do them kind of things, but I had that talent before.
You went on to have a very good career outside of Arsenal, played for Middlesbrough, first team a few years, went out to play in the Middle East as well, played back at Lorient, scored a lot of goals. Tell us about your time post-Arsenal.
Yeah, it's strange because it's when I moved to Lorient that I've had probably my best statistic season where I scored a lot of goals, a lot of assists. And it kind of a bit of a regret because I kind of think, why could I have not had that for my Arsenal? Because if I did, I would have probably never left the club, you know, because Arsenal's in my heart and there would have been nothing more that I wanted than just make a career and just stay there forever and be able to score 20 goals a season and be the main man here. So always a bit of a regret, but you know, you just make with choices in a career. And at the time when I left to go to Middlesbrough is because I didn't have enough game here, and you had Robin, Adebayo, Thierry was still there, and it was hard to get a regular starting 11 games. So I had to kind of had to move. I just said to Arsene, you know, I just want to play week in, week out for Premier League club. And I just feel here it's too hard for me, you know, too much competition. And when I went to Middlesbrough, I got that. And obviously different style of football. So you got the week in, week out playing, but not enjoyable as much as when you played for Arsenal. So, but this is our career goes, no? You just make choices and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. So,
well, Jeremy, always loved at Arsenal. Many thanks for becoming on the podcast and hopefully we will hear from you over the course of the season.
Thank you very much.
Well, Laurent Koscielny recently returned to action after 6 months on the sidelines. Here he is talking about his journey back to the first team.
I think I didn't realize well what's happened with my injury. I knew it was a bad injury and it would be long, you know, to come back after. So yeah, for me, I was just injured and I felt like, okay, maybe 2-3 weeks after you can come back and on the pitch. And more realized day after day. On the Friday, I did the scan. And we had confirmation at 100%. I had a rupture. So after the doc came at home and explained me everything about the surgery, about the time for the rehabilitation. So yeah, mentally it was hard, you know, to hear about this. I felt, you know, like a big kick, you know, in my head. And You need to accept that, and you know it would be a long way. But you need to be strong and to have all the person you love with you to help you to go quicker as is possible, you know, for your rehab. I never thought about quitting football, stop my career. I took this like a big wave of my career. I never had a big injury like this. It's my first one. I have 33 years old, so I think my career is more behind me than in front. So for me, it's a good time, you know, to have feelings about my career, about what I want to do, to realize the good life I have, and to work, you know, harder than before, you know, to come back stronger because I want to play again at the top level. And I was directly focused, you know, about the physio, about the rehab center, what I need to do, everything to be ready when I will start my my rehab, to be focused just on my work and to be back the quickest as possible. After my surgery, I traveled to Saint-Raphaël, a rehab center in the south of France, with one physio. And it's a rehab center with doctors, physios, to help people, you know, who had some big injury. Can be in sports or in your life. And so it was nice, you know, because the place was very nice. I took all my family with me to be with me to this period. And I met some good people who can open, you know, your eyes on the life you have. I saw some things, you know, you can say, okay, I'm a football player, I need to enjoy what I do every day. I have a good life, so I can't say, no, I don't like the life. I saw some different, you know, injured. And for some people, it was very hard because they know they can't work during more than 1 year, and they don't know if they can work again. So it's a period, yeah, you can realize how the life is good for you and for me. So I'm more positive now about life. I try to enjoy every moment I can have with my family, with my friends. And yeah, the most important is just to enjoy your life, to be in good health. And yeah, a lot of people say, okay, you went to Saint-Raphaël, the south of France, and sunny day, and you enjoy your holiday. But for me, it was not holiday. Every week I train with two sessions. I started at 9:30, finish at 1. We start at 4 and finish at 6:30. So I had two sessions. One in the morning was more about my rehab of my Achilles. And the afternoon was more about cardio, gym work, core, upper body, legs. So it was very physical. And the program with my physio was to start slowly, you know, on Monday and to finish on Friday with 0% of power. And they give me just weekend off, so I could enjoy with my family the weekend. But during 2 months and a half, 10 of June to 20 of August, I train 5 days in a week, and I work hard because I was focused on what I want. It's to be back quicker. So that's why I was just focused on my work. And sometimes I forget a little bit about my my family who was with me.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We just heard from Lauren Koscielny there. Lauren Koscielny, Bakary Sagna and Olivier Giroud were all scouted by another former French gunner, Gilles Grimondi. Here he is telling the story of spotting our current captain.
Yeah, I can take, Laurent Koscielny example, because I went to watch him when he was in Tours. We were playing in second French division, and I like him a lot, but to come from second division up to Premier League, I said, it's a big step. So I was not totally convinced that it was not too big for him, and I kept following him. And after he signed for Lorient, and we were playing in first division, and after I was convinced that he was good enough to play for us. And we were all together convinced that he was good enough. But maybe I should have took the risk when he was in Tours at first, because it was that's why sometimes it's a job to take a risk. And but sometimes you need as well to playing in more competitive game to be sure that he will be good enough. But and after he moved to the club, and I think he developed very well. All the training with the manager, with coaches, and he was our captain for a long time.
What did you see in him when you watched him the first few times?
The first time when I saw him, so guys, he told me that there is a good player in Tours in France. So I went there and I like him, his feet. I said, oh, he's quite quick on his feet. He can go quickly up front. And I like that. I felt technically it was okay. It was no problem to play with the balls. And I like his history as well, because he was in Guingamp before, in a professional club, and he didn't stay there because I think he was playing on the right flank and right back. And so I like the kind of story. Olivier Giroud has the same story. He was in a top club and after moved to different club. And that gives sometimes something more to the players, because they have to work harder to achieve a high level. And I said, this guy has good potential to develop and to become a good player. And I like that.
He must be very proud, because he's gone on to become an Arsenal captain. He's led the team many times. It's a team effort to discover a player, but
yeah,
it's a lot of work you've done there.
No, but after it's sometimes there is some player you think they will do well in the club and it's not a success. So you have a part sometimes of success, sometimes it's unsuccess. But I think it's a long process to bring the players. And there are some people who don't work on the light, but they do a good job with a player when he moves from France to England to get settled in the city. There are some people who help him a lot to give him good condition. I said Paul Irwin is very important in the club as well. It's a very, very long process up to the success of the player. That's why we have a small part of the success and we try to do. But we found some good players, and there's a lot of players. Sometimes we are negative about them. At the end, they are top players. It's not.
For example?
I was not convinced about Kanté. Kanté, I knew him a lot and I have information for a long time. Arsène knew him very well. I went to watch him many, many times. I was watching him when he was playing in the third division in France, in Boulogne, but he was playing right wing, so it was a different position, but he was a bit everywhere. I didn't know his good position, I don't know, and he's top player. And, that's happened. We have to accept that. That's why sometimes his job I'm a bit upset, because we're only talking about which player we are fond, but we never say which player we miss, and there are a lot as well.
It's so hard to know that early, isn't it? It's a gamble every time.
Exactly. It's not a gamble, but it's sometimes you have a good feeling and sometimes you don't have it, you know? And it's about, I think, the way you were playing as well. The player you were, maybe sometimes you like few things and you don't like some, and sometimes you have to accept that you can be a good player without things you don't like.
Thanks, Tiers. That's really good. Thanks for all your time.
He's done it this time! What an extraordinary way to win the title.
When an irresistible force meets an old immovable object, something's got to give.
Roebuck versus.
It is Roebuck versus me, Dan Roebuck versus. I'm not quite sure this week, because there's two people in the studio at the moment. Obviously myself, Dan Roebuck, and our producer Liam Roberts. Liam, what are we doing this week? Who am I playing against?
Okay, so it's French Connection. This
okay.
is the subject.
Okay.
You know Mastermind.
I know Mastermind, yes. Never been on it.
No, specialist subject.
Okay.
So your specialist subject this week
okay.
is going to be French players for Arsenal.
Okay. Who am I playing against?
So I asked five questions to Jim Campbell a couple
okay.
of weeks ago.
Okay.
While we were up in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
He gave me some answers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say how you got on.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you the same five questions.
Okay.
And then we'll hear how Jim got on.
Brilliant.
And then we'll have a result.
I see.
So
so if I've... See, this was recorded with Jim, a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
So if I'd have texted Jim, like, last week, he would have potentially told me how he got on.
Yeah, he was in.
Oh, was he really?
I don't know if he'd recovered.
I should have got in
touch
with him.
I caught him cold. I'm not going to lie to you. He didn't know he was going to do a quiz. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you catch me cold every week. I have no idea exactly what the questions are going to be until you tell me. So French Connection this week.
Yeah, so...
Okay. That should be fairly straightforward.
Your name, please?
Dan Roebuck.
And your special subject?
Is the French connection within Arsenal Football Club.
Yeah, you sound confident. So, question one, which number did William Gallas wear for us?
Oh, I think I know this. Or do I? Was it number 9?
It was number 10.
Ah, oh, I don't believe it. I knew that.
Ooh, he's blown it early. Question two, this is half a point each.
So okay.
It's there's two answers.
Yeah.
Can you name the two teams that Matteo Flamini made his debuts for against Arsenal?
So Arsenal versus?
Yeah. So he made two.
Two Arsenal debuts.
Yeah. Half a point each.
Do you know what? And I commentated on both of them. And his first start was his first start or just as a sub?
His debut.
Oh, do you know what? I think his first start might have been against Chelsea, but his first debut appearance, it might have been a League Cup game. So I'll say Chelsea anyway, but I don't think that's right.
Nope, it was Everton.
Oh, was Everton in the 6-0?
It was.
Oh, first game of 03-04? I can't remember. It might have been.
And his second debut.
Or it might have been in the Carling Cup game.
It's gone,
Dan.
It's gone. More famous, his second debut, when he came back. It was a famous game.
Tottenham?
Correct.
Yes!
Half a point.
Out of that, Jim.
Half a point. Don't know if he'd got these right.
Oh, that's true. I bet he didn't. He wouldn't have done that.
Okay, question three.
Yeah.
How many goals did Olivier Giroud score from the substitutes bench? Coming on, he owns the record alongside Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. It's multiple choice.
Okay.
Was it 18, 19 or 20?
I'm going to go 20.
It was 18.
Oh.
Dan Roebuck, this is...
Oh.
You're supposed to be a specialist on this.
Yeah, I know.
Question four.
A specialist subject that I had no choice in. But anyway, go on. Question four. I've got half a point so
far.
Half a point so far out of three.
Question number four. Yeah. Another two-parter, half a point for each.
Okay.
Can you name the two teams who Thierry Henry scored his first and last goals for Arsenal?
First and last goals for Arsenal. First was Southampton?
Correct.
Goal!
That's a good answer.
And last was Leeds?
It was Sunderland.
Oh!
It's the last minute goal where he flicked it in from Arshavin.
Oh!
So that's 1 point out of four.
Okay, that's not bad. That's not bad for my specialist subject. My general knowledge would be shocking, wouldn't it, if this is my specialist subject. One out of four. I've got a sense that I might need to get this right to win, but go on.
Question five.
Yeah.
Can you name the team Patrick Vieira came off the bench against to make his Arsenal debut?
Ooh, so we are talking Blackburn?
Sheffield Wednesday.
Oh!
So, then Roebuck. One out of five.
One out of five, yeah.
Should we have a listen to how Jim got on?
Let's hear how Jim got on.
So, Jim Campbell, your questions on Arsenal's French connections start now. Question one, which number did William Gallas wear for Arsenal?
10.
Correct.
Still weird.
Olivier Giroud scored how many goals from the bench for Arsenal? I'll give you multiple choice on this one.
Okay.
Is it 18, 19 or 20?
I'm going to go 19.
It was 18.
Oh, because I think that's a joint record, isn't it, with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
Yes, yeah. Good knowledge. Half point, maybe? Question three. So it's a half point for each answer. There's two answers. So which two teams did Matteo Flamini make his debuts, plural, because he came back for Arsenal?
Against which teams?
Yeah, so there's two different teams.
Oh.
Half a point for each.
One was West Ham?
No.
No, one was Spurs.
Okay, yep.
One was Spurs, so I remember the first thing he did was basically get booked, if I remember rightly.
Yep.
And I'm going to guess at the first one and just say Newcastle.
It was Everton. So half a point, I do. Question four. Thierry Henry scored his first goal against which team and then his final goal against another team?
Ooh.
Which were the teams?
Was one Everton?
No. You love Everton, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I'm just guessing at this. Final goal. I'll say Blackburn.
Sunderland, last minute, little flick.
Oh, of course. I'm forgetting the when he came
trick
back.
Question. Yeah, it was a trick question.
Mugged me off.
Final question. Which team did Patrick Vieira come off of the bench to make his debut for Arsenal?
Oh God! I remember the footage of him coming off the bench, but got a hazy memory. It's not Everton.
Oh
God! I was going to say them as well. Probably not Sunderland either. I'll be really 90s and go for Norwich.
Sheffield Wednesday.
Ah, God.
One and a half points.
Yeah, so, it's not great. It's not great.
But do you think you can beat Dan Roebuck with that?
No.
We'll find out. One and a half versus one.
I can't believe that Jim got one and a half. What did he get? I can't believe
so
he got
the
one
first,
and a half.
Yeah, so he got the Gallus question.
So he got
right.
The Gallus. I knew it was a striker's number, and I couldn't remember if it was 9 or 10, so I went for 9. Well, well done to Jim. We're both useless on our specialist subject, but maybe we'll have a rematch later in the season. 1.5-1, I'm ashamed.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be doing specialist subjects.
No,
again.
I don't think so. Well, maybe a specialist subject that might actually be a specialist subject.
It was not an easy game.
You're at Arsenal Football Club, it's going to be big pressure.
Take the positives and, you know, look at the next game.
I think we showed great determination.
At the end of the day, we're able to get a result.
Get behind each other and stick together.
In the end, it's something that's going to give you points.
The final word.
The final word this week belongs to Nicolas Anelka and his special FA Cup Wembley moments.
Incredibly, it's 21 years since you joined Arsenal. Can you remember back then the story behind your move?
I remember, yeah. I remember, I was 17 years old, I think. I was playing for Paris at the time. And I had a game against England. At this time, I think David Dean was with the Federation. He saw me play. And in the same time, Arsene Wenger signed in Arsenal. I met them, and at the time, my situation with Paris was not clear. I wanted to change, and I signed for Arsenal.
What were your favourite Arsenal moments?
Well, there's two special moments for me. It was the final, the cup final against Newcastle, and also the last game against, I don't remember the team, when we won the league. The last game was special because it was like a lot of pressure because we came back from nowhere to win the league, and the last game was, we had a lot of pressure because we had to win this game. And I remember Tony Adams' goal, and it was special. It's something special for me.
The FA Cup final against Newcastle, what are your memories of that goal?
Ray Parlour controlled the ball. He saw me as he could see me in the training. We did it so many times. So he saw me running in space, put the ball through, and all against one with the goalkeeper. Goal.
Lee Dixon who got to it for Arsenal. Vieira's header. Parlour. There's no flag! And it's Anelka! No catching him. Maybe no catching Arsenal now. A big step nearer the double. Well, it was a brilliant decision in the end by the linesman to let it go. And the 19-year-old has scored in the FA Cup final.
You were so far ahead of your teammates that you were celebrated and there was no one there.
Well, I was the striker and I was in front, so it was a perfect ball from Ray. And I don't know if it was a counter-attack, but I did what I have to do. One against with the goalkeeper on the side, and it was good for me, good for the club, good for the fans.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
Well, that's full time on today's pod. Thanks to all of our contributors. You can help us out by subscribing to the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you never miss an episode. And while you're there, why not leave us a review and rating? On our next show, we'll be hearing from some of our young English contingents. Until then, bye for now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.